Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
All right, open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. This is the reading of God's Word. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mahuiel, and Mahuiel was the father of Methushael, and Methushael was the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women, one named Ada and the other Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play the harp and flute. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, "Ada and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times." Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. When we look at this story, we're reminded of several things. The first is that all of us are descended from a dysfunctional family. Now, if you haven't had much counseling or read much on counseling, you may not be as familiar with the term dysfunctional. It means not working properly. It means messed up. It means things aren't the way they were designed to be. And most of us, having grown up in the situation that we did, accept whatever is as normal. If you come from a home where there's a lot of smoking going on in the home, you're used to breathing smoke. That's just normal. And when you get to a place where there's not smoking going on, you begin to adjust to breathing air that isn't smoke-filled. And when you get back into an environment that is smoke-filled, all of a sudden you notice it. And it's like, man, I didn't realize how smoky it was to be around people who are inhaling stuff that's on fire. Okay? I just hadn't realized that because, you know, I used to be around that all the time and I thought it was normal, but now I realize, no, it really doesn't make a lot of sense to light something on fire and breathe poison into your lungs until you poison your lungs to the point where they can't even cough properly. That just really isn't very sensible behavior, and now I don't like it. It burns my eyes and it stings my nose and I even read that it can cause cancer and other problems. And so, oh, what happened? You were around it a long time and you didn't complain. You thought that was normal. You thought that was the way. Well, for many people it is normal, but it's not healthy. It's not what we are designed for. The first time anybody inhales a cigarette, the very first time it happens, what do? Cough. Why? Because your body is designed to reject poison. And that smoke is filled with poison. Let's suppose it's not a cigarette that somebody's smoking or cigar pipe. Let's suppose that it's the house on fire. Okay? If you're just breathing that in and saying, oh, that's an unusual smell. Is that a mattress? No, that's not what happens. If there's smoke in the house, whether it's from somebody deliberately smoking or from something being on fire, it burns your eyes, it stings your nose, and it causes you to cough. Your body is designed by God to get rid of that toxin, that poison that's coming in. Well, likewise, if you grow up in a home where there's a lot of sinful behavior going on, you may accept that as normal. I've known kids who grew up in homes where they knew that their parents were involved in stealing on a large scale, or dealing drugs, or using drugs. And they just thought that's what everybody did. The police are the bad people in their minds. And the people who deal drugs, those are the good guys. Those are the ones we have to protect. We have to lie for them. We have to pretend it's not so. They just accept that as normal. And then you get out of that situation and you begin to realize that's not normal.
Folks, it's a great privilege for me to be able to come each evening and bring God's word on these stations. I am so thankful that I have the opportunity to do that. But if you listen regularly, you know that my life day-to-day is involved in trying to minister to kids who come from very difficult situations. I want to ask you to please help us. Contact us at wvr.org and find out how you can be part of the miracle. wvr.org. Please help us help these children.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
But the waves are most of us simply accept the way that we experienced family when we were little as being normal. And then God's Word comes along. And God's Word begins to show us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But sometimes when that happens, people become very ashamed of their family. Very ashamed of where they came from. And it's like, I don't want anybody to know that my family had problems. So one of the things I want you to understand as we look at Genesis chapter 4 is that your family had problems, but you're not the only one. And it's not just some of the people in the room whose families had problems. I come from one of the nicest, healthiest families that I know, and we had problems. And my wife said to me after a number of years of marriage, you know, I think the healthiest thing about your family is that you all are able to admit that you have problems. She said, you know you've got problems. And that's healthy. Because my wife grew up thinking that even though on the one hand she could admit to herself that she wished these things were different, there was this tremendous need to try and make it look like it was okay. You know? Well, here I want to take us back through God's Word to the first family, Adam and Eve. They had two boys. One murdered the other. Would you say that's a problem? Adam and Eve, the first people made by God, had two boys. One of them killed the other. That's a messed up family. That's our family. So get over feeling ashamed and just realize you're in good company. Everybody comes from a family that has problems. Some are more extreme than others. Not all of Adam and Eve's children killed each other, but one killed another. Got it? So you're coming from a messed up family going all the way back to the start. Don't be surprised, therefore, that as we read through the scriptures, even the good people in the scriptures are not that good. Best neighborhoods, nicest houses, everybody's still got problems. Folks, that's why I want us to understand this about families being messed up. You and I will never receive the grace of God until we understand we need it. We need God's grace. We need forgiveness. We need cleansing. We need to be changed. It isn't just somebody else's problem. And so when we read this story, if we understand that, we begin to perhaps understand about the sacrifice. You remember when we looked at what God did after Adam and Eve sinned? God made them coverings of animal skins. In order for God to make them coverings of animal skins, the animals had to die. That was the first sacrifice, the first blood sacrifice in Scripture. Because the only way that we could be forgiven and our sin covered was through the death of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. So all the sacrifices in the Old Testament point to that. They point to Jesus taking our place, taking our punishment. But in order to take our place and take our punishment, he had to die. So, when we look at this, that's why Cain, coming with some stuff he had grown, fruit and vegetables, and saying, hey, look what I did. Look, I've been cultivating a crop. We've got a good garden this year. Here you go, God. That was not the sacrifice that God was looking for. Abel, on the other hand, came with fat portions from the firstborn of the flock. And so he was offering up to God a sacrifice that was in accordance with what God had established back in the garden. And it wasn't like Cain just didn't know the rules. Because look at what God says to him. Why are you angry? Verse 6. Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But see, Cain didn't want to have to do that. Cain didn't like the idea of having to bring the fruits of animal sacrifice. He was a gardener. And it wasn't because he was averse to bloodshed. We see that he was quite capable of shedding blood, because he's going to shed his brother's blood. But the idea that he deserved to die and that there needed to be a sacrifice, a substitute who died in his place, Cain didn't accept that. When I was in high school, we were in Sunday school, and we're talking about Jesus dying on the cross. And I said, he had to do that because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Where's that statement found? Romans 3:23. Okay? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. I said that, and one of the other students who was a little older than I was, not recognizing that that was straight out of the Bible, got very angry and said, Jim Wood, you're a hypocrite because you judge others. I wasn't judging anybody. I was saying what the Apostle Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that is that all of us have sinned. But she didn't know that was in the Bible. So she thought I was saying that she had sinned. And she said, I don't think I've ever sinned. Excuse me? Hello? So let's ask this morning. Do you realize that you have sinned? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all messed up. And that's why there has to be a sacrifice. And the sacrifice is a blood sacrifice. It involves the death of the innocent on behalf of the guilty, a substitute who takes our place. That's what God showed them. That's what God required. That's what Abel provided. That's what Cain refused to provide. That's why this is such a big deal. That's why this is so instructive for us. In order for us to receive the cleansing that God provides through Jesus Christ, we have to recognize that we need it. We have to realize that we have sinned and that we need to be forgiven. If we don't recognize that we need it, we're not going to receive it. So, Cain killed his brother Abel. And as we said before, God speaks to him in verse 7 and says, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. And we said, this is the second of three times where that phrase, it desires to have you, is used in the Old Testament. The only three times that that word for desire occurs. It desires to have you. It is seeking to have you. It wants to control you. Did you know that sin wants to control you? Did you know that? Sin doesn't just want you to dabble in it. It wants to control you. It is a spiritual force that wants to control you. How many of you can say, like the Apostle Paul, that you know what it is to want to do the right thing and find yourself doing the wrong thing? How many of you ever been there? Okay? And that's our condition, because sin masters us. Who can set us free? Jesus. He's the only one. But it's not just an improvement. It's a brand new life. He not only takes our punishment, but he comes to make us new. We have to be, in Jesus' words, born again. So, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Well, Cain ignored the warning of God and committed premeditated murder against his brother. And so the Lord says to Cain, verse 9, "Where is your brother Abel?" And Cain replies, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Did he know where his brother was?" Of course he did. Did God know what had happened? Of course he did. We've said it before, we'll say it again. The reason we need to confess is not because God needs an update. It's not because he needs more information. God knows everything. The reason we need to confess is because of what it does in us when we start telling the truth. We need to be set free by the truth. So we need to confess our sins and not try and hide them, not pretend that it isn't so. Now, when God pronounced judgment on Cain, he also showed him mercy. In verse 15, Cain was afraid that the other people, because Adam and Eve were having other children, by the way, he was afraid that the other people, if they found him, would kill him. And God says, "No. I will avenge you, and I'll put a mark on you that others will know not to kill you." And so Cain was allowed to go out and to live and to produce descendants. If Adam and Eve were the only people and they started having children, who did Cain marry? Okay, brace yourself. His sister. Ooh! Well, no, ooh now, but not back then. Okay, because there weren't any other people. So there was nothing wrong with it. There was no prohibition against it. And even medically and genetically speaking, wasn't a problem. Why did we have to bring that up? Because if I don't, you will. Okay? So now three people aren't going to have to approach me afterwards with the question you were going to ask. All right? Well, who were the other people that he was afraid he might run into? Siblings. Well, then why does it only talk about Seth? Because Seth is going to be the line through whom God brings redemption. And we'll see this as the genealogies of the Old Testament give little bits of these folks went out and had these folks went out and had these folks, and this is the line that we follow. His name means granted, and he is the one through whom God is going to bring salvation to all tribes and tongues and peoples and nations of the earth. I want you to see that way back here, at the start of human history, we see man's sin and God's sacrifice, and we see God's provision of salvation. Starts at the beginning. But God was at work from the start so that we could be saved. And this story is one of the links in that chain.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit WVR.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit WVR.org today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. You have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make? I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.